If you have your Bibles, turn to Joshua chapter 3. Joshua chapter 3. And we're going to look at some passages, some verses here, verses 3 through 17. Joshua chapter 3, verse 3, it says, "And they commanded," I'm going to just read it here, and then we'll talk about it. "They commanded the people, saying, 'When you see the Ark of the Covenant and the Lord your God and the priests and the Levites bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it for about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way heretofore.' And Joshua said unto the people, 'Sanctify yourselves for tomorrow, and the Lord will do wonders among you.' And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, 'Take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass over before the people.' And they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, 'This day will I begin to magnify you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so will I be with you. And you shall command the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, When you are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, you shall stand still in the Jordan.' And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, 'Come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God.' And Joshua said, 'Hereby you shall know the living God is among you, and that you shall be that he will drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Gerishites, and the Amorites and the Jebusites. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God of all the earth passes over before you into Jordan. Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon a heap. And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priest bearing the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord before the people, and as they that bear the Ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the Ark were dipped into the brim of the water, for the Jordan overflowed all his banks at the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above and rose up from upon a heap very far from the city Adam, and that is beside Zaratan, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan." Let's pray. Lord God, we just ask that you'll be with us this morning as we examine this passage of Scripture. Lord, we desperately need you. We need you. We need your mercy, your grace. We need you in our lives, Lord. We need you to help us to understand this passage, Lord, and help us to, as we come to challenges in our life, to just trust you and go forward. When we don't understand, when it doesn't make sense, help us, Lord, to trust you and go forward. Lord, we love you and we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. The Israelites had seen the power of God. They had there in Egypt, they had seen the Creator God bring plagues upon Egypt to free them from the people there. They had seen the power of God as the Egyptians were chasing them, and there they are at the edge of the Red Sea. They had seen the power of God divide the Red Sea, and they walked across on dry ground. They had seen the armies of the Egypt drown in that same Red Sea. They had seen the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire that led them. They had come all the way up to the edge of the Promised Land. They sent spies in under the command of God. But they sent spies in to look and check out the land. The spies came back, and 10 of them had an evil report. 10 of them said, "We can't go in." 10 of them said, "There's giants in there. We're like grasshoppers. There's no way we can do it. We can't take the land of Canaan. There's too many of them. They're too big. The cities are walled." But yet they had seen all the things that God had done. and yet they failed to trust him. So they chose the wilderness wandering instead. Now two of them, Joshua and Caleb, had said, we can take them. God's given it to us. Let's go. Let's get it. Let's go forward. But yet the people all murmured against Moses, and as a result, 40 years in the wilderness. And every person, 20 years and up, except Joshua and Caleb, died in that wilderness. God had said, go in. Had they gone in, it would have been theirs. But yet they said, we can't. And so instead they died in the wilderness. Now, 40 years later, they're at the edge of the promised land again. They're about to go in. God had led them through the desert and fed them through for 40 years. He had given them manna to eat and water out of the rock. He had provided for them, and they had seen his power and his glory. And now they're back at the same place they were 40 years before. And Joshua is telling the children of Israel, look, God's going to do something amazing. Now again, I'm sure in their hearts and minds, those that were maybe 19, 18, 17, I'm sure those young people at the time heard their parents saying, we can't do it. We can't go in. We can't win this battle. There's great walls. There's so many of them. There's giants in there. And for sure they had heard those things of their parents talking. And so I'm sure as they're standing there before the Jordan River, they're afraid. In their minds, they're thinking, oh man, what is going to happen? They're remembering all of the things their parents said. But they're also remembering what happened. They're also remembering that the very words of their parents said, we go in, we're going to die. They're actually, the opposite happened. They died in the wilderness because they didn't go in. And here they are, they're about to go in, and this is where our story picks up. And Joshua is getting the people ready. And God says, go in and take the promise. God says, Joshua, lead the people in. We see three commands here. Let's look at the first one. In verse 3, they commanded the people, saying, here it is, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests and the Levites bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it, saying, follow. They were commanded to follow. So here's the picture. Joshua doesn't know exactly when the command of God is going to be, go. So Joshua's saying, okay, when the command comes, we got to be ready. And so here they are, they're waiting for this command, and Joshua says, listen, here's what you have to do. You see this happen, when the Ark of the Covenant is lifted up and they start moving forward, you have to go forward. They're commanded to go forward. So what are they commanding to do there? Be watching for God to move. You know what? God is looking for people with whom He can prove Himself strong throughout this world. The Bible says, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking for those whose heart is perfect towards Him, who He can prove Himself to be the powerful God that He really is. And Joshua is telling them, be watching for God to move. When God moves, we got to follow. And really, folks, when you see God moving, when you see God doing a work, there's nothing like getting involved and being part of it. Because you know you're on the winning side. You see God moving, you say, hey, I want to be part of that. It's not just joining the parade. It's getting involved. It's going forward. It's moving. It's going with God where calls you to go. So you got to be watching for God to move. You got to be ready to move yourself. And really, that's a hard one. Many times. Many times it's hard to, you know, our tendency as human beings, we want to get our roots down. We want to be comfortable. We want to, you know, have the easy whatever. And it's hard to, when God says, okay, go, it's hard to uproot and follow. But the command is there. Be ready for God to move. Be watching for God to move. Be ready to move yourself. Be ready to say, okay, God, whatever it is you want me to do, I'm willing to do. You know, I remember after Sherry and I were married and we were, you know, thinking about where we might go on a mission. Where would we serve the Lord? We knew God was calling us to the mission field, but we didn't know where. And I remember every missionary that came to our church, literally everyone. Someone would come from India. We're like, oh Lord, send us to India. And the next one would come from somewhere. Oh Lord, send us there. And you know, one by one, these people would come and we're like, oh Lord. And so then we started doing trips. We talked to our church, our pastor and Pastor Vaughn, and so we got involved with some of the mission trips the church was on, and we were in going down, and every time it was like, oh Lord, let us go there, and you know, we were just so excited, we just wanted to go wherever God called. And I remember each time we'd talk to Pastor Vaughn, and it would be like the first we looked at something down in the Caribbean, and Pastor Vaughn's like, oh well, you know, this and that, and then we talked about something else, I think in Mexico. And he's like, I want you to be involved in something here first. And so then we started teaching in the Sunday school, the adult Sunday school, we were working in that. Just one by one, the things would just never, it just wasn't time, or we were having kids, or, you know, this different things happened. Okay? But I remember finally when it came time to, we had heard about YAP, we were asked to come up and sing at a missions conference in North Carolina. And so, on the coast. And so, we went up there and we said, okay, this time, let's just talk to every missionary there. And let's find out how they knew they were supposed to go where they're supposed to go. And so then we can kind of know how we know, you know, how do we know where we're supposed to go? We just want to go, and everywhere that we hear about, we want to go there. So how do we know where it is that God's leading? And so we just talked to different missionaries and at that conference, and then God just directed us. We met this guy. He was coming back from the island of Yap, and he had five kids, and his wife had passed away from cancer, and he couldn't go back, and so he was. We just heard his heart and his burden, and it just, it, God knit our hearts together. And we're like, maybe this is it. And so we're kind of trying to figure it out, and we're praying about it. And finally we went to Pastor Vaughn. It got to the point where I said, okay, Pastor Vaughn, we're really praying about this island called Yap. And you know what he said? Do it. It was time. And you know, God leads in different ways. He works in different ways, and he calls people in different ways. Okay? Not everyone is going to be the same as us. All right? There's not just one way that God works and leads. But the point is, we got to be watching. We got to be watching and saying, God, what is the thing you want us to do? What is the job you have for me? What is the plan you have in my life today? What person can I meet today that I can influence? You know, I met a guy, actually a pastor up in New Hampshire, and he has a policy. Everyday evangelism. Everyday evangelism. What he means by that is, wherever he was always looking for somebody he could share Christ with. And in that church, that's a, I don't know, it's a big church in New England, which is not normal, okay? But if you ask the people there, most of them, he had come in contact with them, maybe at the store, maybe, you know, somewhere, and introduced them to Christ, and they had been saved by the power of the Spirit of God. Many of them. And it was just an amazing, you know, he'd go to the store just for the purpose of meeting people to reach them for Christ. And a couple of weeks ago, we were somewhere. No, in Phoenix. Was that in Phoenix? Yeah, it was. There's a guy that goes to Starbucks, and he opens his Bible, and he sits down, and he drinks coffee. It's like bait. He's baiting a trap. He's baiting a trap. He sets his Bible down in open sight, and he sits where everyone comes by, and he said every time people start talking to him about either they're haters, or they're searchers, or they're, you know, some cult, and he has an opportunity to share Christ with them. I love that. That's a great concept. I love that. But you know what? These days, we've got to think of ways that are going to work today. You know, nowadays you knock on someone's door, they're running. You know, maybe door knocking worked. It doesn't work yet because they don't have doors and you can't go to their village. But I don't know. You know what I'm saying? We got to think of ways how we can impact lives, and we got to be looking. We got to be ready. Okay. The second thing. Look at this now. So, and I kind of got off track there, but Joshua. Okay. Verse 5. Look at verse 5. Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. So here's Joshua, and he says, okay, get ready. I don't know what God's going to do, but he's going to do something amazing. He's going to do something awesome. And so he's saying, prepare your hearts. Get ready to see God do what he's going to do. God's going to do something. And you know, here in Raleigh, Durham area, it's no different. It's the same God. And I know you guys are praying about, you know, God's will for a church, a building, and this thing happened like this. This is so exciting. I love this idea. I love this idea. It's great. But you know, we just got to be looking for saying, God, what, you know, this is out of the box. This isn't the normal way. But it's incredible. And here's Joshua, he's saying, okay, get ready. God, I don't know what it's going to be, but God is going to do something amazing. And with that, sanctify yourselves, the idea of prepare your hearts. Get spiritually ready. And folks, listen, that's what every one of us need. We need to be spiritually ready to see God do something awesome. And I don't know what it's going to be, each of our lives. I don't know what the need is in your life right now. What the impossible situation is. But listen, all of us have those, whether it's a financial situation, a wayward relative, or a child, or, you know, a health issue, or, you know, there's all different kinds of impossible situations. And we get to that point where we're at the edge of Jordan, and every possible solution seems like it's not going to work. It's impossible. But listen, we're discounting the fact that we serve an almighty creator God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. How does that happen? Only God can do it. Only God can do it. And listen, when we come to those impossible situations in our life, God is waiting to show himself strong. If we will just get ourselves ready, get our hearts ready spiritually, we'll see God work. And that's what these people did here. They were commanded to follow. They were commanded to prepare. And the next thing they were commanded to do is obey. Let's look at verse 14. And it came to pass when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, the priests bearing the ark, when it came to pass when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priest bearing the ark of the covenant of the Lord. And as they that bear the ark were come unto the Jordan, and the feet of the priest that bear the ark were dipped into the brim of the water, for the Jordan overflowed all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above rose up upon a heap very far from the city Adam. And then the other waters were cut off, it says in verse 16. So here's the picture. They're commanded to do it, and what did they do? They obeyed. And they saw, when they obeyed, they saw God do something amazing. They saw God work an impossible situation and make it so simple and so easy as walking across on dry ground. Now imagine, okay, so it's easy for us as we read this to just kind of say, wow, that's cool. But if you're the guy carrying the ark of the covenant of the Lord is, you're carrying maybe one of the poles of it, you know, there's guys on carrying the poles, right? And you come up to that river that's swelled, it's running over its banks, it's a very deep, scary thing, and here you are, you're commanded to go forward, and you're at this, the brink of this river. Imagine. You're carrying that ark, and you're in your mind is, what if I fail? What if I step in the water, and I get over my head, and the water washes, and the Ark of the Covenant, we're going to lose it. It was a scary thing. They didn't have the answer yet. Now Joshua told them what was going to happen now. But it wasn't in front of them. They still see the river. It's easy when the waters are spread and it's dry ground, it's easy to walk across. Or if there's a nice strong bridge, it's easy to get on the bridge and walk across. But to step forward when the water's still there, that's a scary proposition. And so what did they do? They stepped. And as soon as the feet of the priest touched the brim of the water, just the very, their foot never got wet. Folks. Their feet never got wet. The foot touched the brim of the water, bang, the water, gone. Dry ground. The priest's foot landed right there on dry ground. And then the children of Israel were able to pass over. And you know the story, how they marched around the city, the walls of Jericho, falling flat. And God just bringing victory after victory and deliverance, amazingly. And that all the people looking, they could only say, God is working for, God is fighting for these people. God is doing something for them that we've never seen. We don't understand this. And as we see later in the book of Joshua, the hearts of the people melted. They had no more strength to fight. And folks, listen. We serve the same God. We serve the same almighty, creator, powerful God today. That's the same God, not a different one. And this same God is able to do amazingly above all that we could ask or think by His power. If we'll just trust Him, if we'll, when we come to those hard challenges that seem impossible, it seems like there's no right answer, it doesn't seem like it's going to work. We say, God, I'm trusting You. I'm stepping forward. You know, I've seen it over and over in our ministry there in Yap. I've seen it where God called us to do something that was impossible. Called us to do something that seeming impossible. And in our strength, in our ability, in our, whatever, it is impossible. But we've seen God do amazing things, one after another. Right now we are building an 18,000 square foot solid cement structure on an island where there's no gravel, there's no rebar, there's no blocks, there's no nothing. How do you do it? God can do it. God can do it. We're seeing Him do it. Right now, the second story walls are on. Let me just tell you just something. We're going to go into it next hour. A little, some of the things that God is doing. But first, the FSM government, $255,000 they gave for that building. Then a supplemental, 40,000. We didn't ask the FSM government for that. They did it. Then 200. So that's 255, and then another 40. Then I didn't ask for this either. Out of the blue, a supplemental, $194,000, just out of the blue. The FSM National, they had extra. They charge people for fishing in FSM waters. The revenue days is like they charge these big fishing boats, thousands of dollars a day. Anyway, they had all this extra money. They said, how about another $194,000? Then Yap State, $130,000. I mean, this money, it's at... So basically, right now, in Yap, to finish the building, we have what we need. As far as the structure of that building, we have right now sitting in Yap at the government is $194,000 from the federal and $130,000 sitting from the state. And God is just doing it. That it seemed impossible. And when God said, go forward for this school, it was like, how do we do it? We don't know what to do. I'm not an educator. I don't know what. But one by one, God is doing it and providing and doing, working above all that we could ask or think, so that the people looking can only say, God is in this. The Yap State government never gave to a private school like that. Never. Never. But they did. And the FSM government, national, never did that like that. But they did. Why? Because God was in it. And God was leading and directing. And folks, listen, that is how God works. And I want to encourage you today. When God calls you to do something, all you have to do is say, okay, God, I'm willing, and go forward. God will work out the problem of the river, or the Red Sea, or the walls. He's able. He's the Creator God. It's nothing to Him. He's the one that commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you and praise you for your love for us. Thank you for your mercy and grace. And Lord, thank you for each one that's here today. Lord, help us. Help us to be willing. When we see you leading us to something, Lord, help us to be willing to just go forward. Just step forward, even when it doesn't make sense. Even when none of the possible solutions look like the right one. Help us to trust you that you are in control. We love you, Lord, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.